In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have very quickly reached the central week in the 40 days of the Great Lenten annual spiritual effort that we make in preparation to celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection, the source of our salvation, in order to participate more deeply and more fully this year than the last. We engage in spiritual effort together for these 40 days. At the center of the 40 days, we venerate the cross of Christ. There is a feast that is devoted outside of Great Lent to the elevation of the cross. Veneration of the cross in the center of Lent comes from praises and paria and kantakia, all of the hymnography for that feast. It was decided that at the center of Great Lent, the cross needs to stand. At the early morning service for the elevation of the cross, the Magnificat, which is a central and important element of the morning matins service, is replaced by reference directly to the cross. Instead of hearing the words that we find in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, 46 to 55, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Instead of those words about the Theotokos, the Mother of God, Mary, we have the words, "Magnify my soul the precious cross of the Lord." And this is of central significance. We point to the one who brought the incarnate Son of God into the world and her glorification of God with these words from St. Luke, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced." Of course, we have to know that our understanding is that a person, as created by God, is body, soul, and spirit. And while the soul, which we are concerned to save because the word for soul and the word for life are like that, the soul is our life, the soul is higher than the body. But highest of all is the spirit. And so Mary is saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." I rejoice in the highest level of my person. We have lost understanding of what was meant in Scripture by the soul. The soul, Archbishop Averky, in a book that has to do with trying to regain spiritual effort, a path of spiritual effort in a secular world, reminds us that the soul is the life force in every living thing. It is not the ultimate in man. The activity of the soul, St. Theophylact the Recluse has said, is entirely directed toward the ordering and fulfillment of the demands of worldly life. This is the nature of the soul, body and soul. But our soul loves the world. Our soul can be in love with the world, or our soul can reorient, repent, and turn toward higher things, be led by the Spirit. All of the spiritual effort that we make during Great Lent, the reason we fast, is that ordinarily the body leads the soul. The soul wants to be satisfied, and so the body leads the soul to satisfaction. The body leads the soul into satisfaction that comes from the world. Most religions are about the fulfillment of the desires of the soul. Christianity is different. Orthodox have kept an understanding of the fact that it is not about the satisfaction and fulfillment of the desires of the soul, which is satisfied with the things of the world, that is the gospel message. Christ came into the world in order to call us to give up our bondage to the world, to turn away from our bondage to the world. You try to save your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life, your devotion of your soul to this world, then it can be saved if you follow my cross. That's the message. If you follow me, our soul, we are told, mainly makes its choices by habit. We have habits of our soul, and we seem to be surprised that we make the choices that we do in life when we come to confession and we confess that we have acted in a way that is not according to the way we ought to have acted. Where did this come from? Some deep and mysterious place. The fact of the matter is that our soul is committed to finding satisfaction in the world, to finding satisfaction from others. We use others to give us satisfaction. We look around for all of the ideas and teachings of the world, and we embrace and accept those that satisfy our soul. We come up with an image of ourselves that is made up of fantasy, flame and air, as it says in a particular Broadway play. Imagination, but it satisfies our soul. It satisfies our desire for satisfaction in ourselves. As worldly people, and we are all essentially worldly people, we often confuse the demands of the soul with the voice of the heart, the deepest place, the place in us where we meet God, that holy place where we cannot descend in our awareness until we have put off our devotion to satisfaction by way of the things of the world. We take hold of the body, we say, in fasting, and we use the body's leadership of the soul to turn things upside down, and we refuse to satisfy intentionally the desires and the cravings of the soul. Our effort is to have the soul lead the body. Instead of the body leading the soul, we turn it around. We want the spirit, the longing and the desire for the highest things, the longing and the desire to remember and to be in communion with God. We want the spirit to lead the soul and the soul to lead the body. That's the sense of what Mary is saying when she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." It doesn't magnify itself by way of the world. It magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. There is a complete reorientation of the person toward God in the Magnificat. That's why it's important. Now, we are not going to give birth to the Son of God. Men can't. Women, it's been done. The incarnation of the Son of God was accomplished. But all of us need to have the same life of Christ in us that she had physically in her, so that she could bring that life forth and Jesus Christ could change the way things are done in this world, make his cross a path for us, so that we can put off our love of the world, our bondage to the world, through his triumph on the cross over death, his resurrection and ascension, and sending the Holy Spirit in synergy with him. We are able to do along with him what he did. Now, outside of Orthodoxy, that is not believed. There is an understanding of salvation that makes it unnecessary for us to share this spiritual effort of dying to ourselves that Christ calls us to. There needs to be in each one of us a change of heart. And what that boils down to is a change in the orientation of our soul, where it looks ultimately for satisfaction. Instead of following the standard way of coming to the church to find satisfaction in those non-material ways that the world cannot give us, we come to the church and we want satisfaction for our soul. We want it to be a place where our soul can be fed in a way that does not require repentance, that does not require change, that does not require reorientation from love of ourselves and love of the world and the sacrifice of Christ, his trampling down death by his death, so that we could trample down death by death ourselves, is lost. We take our satisfaction from whatever we experience in the life of the church, and we build up the soul. We satisfy its cravings, its desires. Unless we have this change of mind, change of heart, this reorientation of the soul to love the higher things rather than the world, the soul itself will reject the cross. My soul, my very soul, will reject the cross. It will not fall down before the cross. It will find some way to avoid the cross. One theology to avoid: accepting the cross of our lives and passing through this time of the death of ourselves that Christ calls for, is to say that Jesus Christ died for me and I don't need to die. In fact, I can't participate in spiritual life. I can't participate actively in my own salvation. I am too fallen. And I see that I am so fallen that I cannot participate actively in my salvation. And so I accept that Christ God has gone to the cross, died for my sake. I accept the free gift so that I won't go to hell and I am saved. No need for me to participate actively in my own salvation. No need. In fact, it's impossible. I'm too fallen. This is not our faith. This has not been our faith since the first centuries. This way of understanding things came from somewhere else. Christianity, it is good to remember, began with a woman. Not a woman who, in some confessions of the West, is lifted up so that she is thought of as different from us, but a woman whose importance is that she is one of us. She is a human being like us. And she, as we are meant to do, turned away from satisfying her soul on the basis of this world and had a kind of courage that it seems that only women have. The kind of courage that it takes to bring new life into the world. When a woman's time comes, we read in Scripture, John 16:21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a child is born into the world. This is the kind of courage that a woman has. The Christian faith began with this courage on the part of a woman. The archangel Gabriel came to her and told her that God has chosen you to bring new life into the world. She doesn't understand, but she accepts the will of God. And she brings forth our salvation, Jesus the Christ, the one who is our salvation. Our salvation is not words about him. Our salvation is Christ himself because of what he did. Destroyed the power of death over us. We say as Orthodox, we sin because we fear death. We try to avoid death. And so we do things that make us feel strong, that satisfy the desire of our soul. But he destroys the power of death, this son of this woman. Now, if we are going to have his life in us, we must have the kind of courage that she had. We must be able to confront the fact that if we are going to live, if we are going to have eternal life, we must pass through the fear of death, the fear of the death of the selves that we want to protect more than anything else. The life of the soul that is pinned to this world, that is the cost of entrance into the new life. The new Christian life that Christ gives to us. We must be able to say what she said. I accept. I am ready to die to bring this new life into the world in my own life. And that's why we fall down before the cross. Magnify, O my soul, the precious cross of the Lord, because it is the means of our passing through death and the fear of death, whether we're talking about being tempted by some sin, because every sin is a little death. We can only pass through it in this kind of way. Not sinning out of the fear of death, But having our faith in Christ, passing through this temptation of death, having confidence in his eternal life, and not performing that sin of the soul's devotion to the world. That's what it's all about, that kind of spiritual effort. For a woman in childbirth, a cross of pain is confronted with body and soul together. Not the body refusing to participate because it's too terrifying. Body and soul together determined to pass through this time for the sake of new life. That's what it takes to be a Christian. That kind of courage. Christ God came into the world in order to affirm this kind of courage. This kind of courage that is exemplified by the Theotokos, the Mother of God, the one who brought God's life into the world as a human being, fully God and fully man. He affirms this kind of courage, and he teaches us, men and women, this is the kind of courage that it needs in order to die to yourself and live this life that Christ God makes available to us, this eternal life that we can begin to live immediately, so soon as we truly, in our soul, fall down before the cross and the fear of death is gone from us, and we are willing to pass through the death of our false selves, the death of the self that is devoted to all of the things of the world that the soul desires. The Lord said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Save your soul. Don't lose your soul. All the world that you can gain for your soul is not worth the loss of your soul. And if you go that way and devote yourself to the life of the world, you will lose your soul. Take up your cross and follow me." This is the kind of courage that it takes to truly be a Christian. The person who gives up his soul for Christ and the gospel is the one who gains true and eternal life. At the separation of body and soul at the end of our lives in this world, the soul is with Christ. It has been living already an eternal life that began as soon as we fall down and worship Christ God, and the path of this way of the death of our selfish and death-dealing way of life. Outside of Orthodoxy, there are strategies to avoid this. But within Orthodoxy, this is the truth that is preached. And at the center of our spiritual effort, we hold up the cross and we remind ourselves that this path, the path of the cross, is the path of resurrection. The battle has already been fought and won. It is up to us to participate. And every time we are tempted by some sin that encourages us to sin in fear, we remember the cross. It's why we wear the cross. It's why we make the sign of the cross. Remember the fact that the victory has already been won. We need not miss the mark and sin out of fear. Before thy cross, we bow down and worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.